You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A group of academics at the University of Otago Faculty of Law are advocating for New Zealand to build a successful online court system. At the moment, a lot of the court system in New Zealand is based in paper and requires in-person legal advice and hearings. The lead author of the report, Bridget Toy Cronin, says that online courts provide a greater pathway for justice due to the fact that legal information and court processes could be accessible to everyday people rather than just legal professionals. I spoke to Bridget Toy Cronin about what an online court system would look like in New Zealand. We discuss how online courts could make a difference to the significant delays in cases getting to court, how online courts pose problems for those without access to the internet, and whether she could ever see New Zealand's court system being completely online. Here is Bridget. What does an online court system look like? Are there some examples from other countries that you can give us?
So an online court, people usually think of, sort of a Skype court where, or a Zoom court where you're talking to the judge over video technology. And that's part of what a full online court system would look like. But the other parts of it would also include being able to file your case online and to engage in dispute resolution with the other party online. So, for example, some of the systems overseas which are being developed have something that looks like a bit like a messenger chat where you can talk to the other party about possible resolutions. Like you can make an offer of $1,000 to settle this or something, and you can have a chat back and forth like you would on Messenger about how to settle the case. So it's got those three components, a filing system, a dispute resolution system, and then if the case doesn't settle, some sort of online adjudication.
Because I think that's something that perhaps people who aren't necessarily involved in legal work or haven't ever had to be involved in a court case don't really know how on paper and kind of backward some of the systems are with the court system in New Zealand.
Yeah, it is really, really antiquated. And since I think the 1980s, judges themselves have been saying, look, we've got to get rid of this paper-based system. I mean, we do have our court system does run off a sort of mainframe computer system like you see at the airports and things, you know, that kind of computer system, but they don't have online filing capacity. There is the Disputes Tribunal and the Tenancy Tribunal now have online filing. It's pretty a basic kind of portal, but you can go online for those ones. But once you're in the court system, you're literally putting paper documents into court. I think since COVID, there's been the ability to pay filing fees by credit card, but before then it was also cheque-based. You know, like it's really, really
old. Now, you know, we've said that it's inconvenient, but could you explain a little bit more about why New Zealand's courts should work towards building an online court system and why that's important?
Well, I mean, it's important just for the purposes of joining the 21st century and saying, you know, this is going to be more efficient if we can have an effective online system. It makes it more accessible for more people because you're taking away a lot of those barriers in terms of time and transport and things to get documents into court. Once they're in court, it means that the people working inside the court, the judges and the court staff, can retrieve those files without having to push around trolleys of documents and things like that. And of course, during the pandemic, it's been really important to be able to do that because people can't necessarily get on site. So, you know, there's around the world, online courts have been pushed forward by the COVID pandemic, especially in other countries that have been harder hit than our own. And then the other potential it's got is that we can make systems that are sufficiently accessible that people can access them without the help of a lawyer. And that's really important because, of course, the major expense for legal cases is legal fees. And so finding ways to harness technology so that we don't need as much legal assistance for people is a potential way to make the law more accessible to people and more cost-effective.
What would you say to people that would say, oh, if we make this information accessible to everyday people that, I don't know, lawyers won't have a job anymore?
Well, I would say that that's not a reason to not change the system. I mean, all sorts of professions have come under pressure and have had to change as technology has changed. That's been happening for hundreds of years, and law has, you know, has no right to an exception from that. It wouldn't actually mean that lawyers wouldn't have a job anymore, because lawyers still have a role to play. But at the moment, people can't access the law at all unless they've got enough resource to do it, and that's entirely unprincipled. And it means that our, you know, country doesn't have full rule of law if not everyone can access the system. So we have to do something, and we have to be very careful that we're not trying to, you know, protect a profession as a reason to not create that kind of change. The legal system's there for the benefit of the citizens of the country. It's not there for the benefit of the lawyers.
Now, it is regularly reported in the news that there is a huge delay in cases getting to court in New Zealand. Would online systems make a difference to this?
Yeah, I think it would. It would definitely help, depending on how you built it, especially if it had more transparency over scheduling, and you could potentially select times to have cases heard, which is a system that's available in some states in Australia. That can help. It's not going to be a silver bullet for that, though, because there's actually quite complex reasons why cases get delayed. It can relate to all sorts of things, including like the availability of experts on either side to give evidence, to parties themselves trying to drag the chain, and sometimes, you know, like a filing system which is efficient is not going to solve all of those types of problems, but it would probably give more transparency over what's going on and make it easier to monitor the progress of cases. So I'd expect it to have some benefit, but it's not a magic solution to those problems.
Could you see a time where New Zealand's courts are completely online? Is that ever likely to be something that will happen, or is that face-to-face being there in the courtroom and actually really important part of how our legal system works?
I'm not necessarily an advocate of completely putting everything online. I think there's a lot to be said for getting people into a room together when they're in dispute with each other. That reality of being face-to-face with someone, with their emotions, with their problems and things, is, I think, a really human experience. And so I'm not convinced that we want to take the whole thing online for all stages of proceedings, but I think we should be mixing the technology that we've got available and still keeping those important face-to-face moments, but being a bit more strategic about when we use those.
I suppose another issue that was brought up in your report is about the people that might struggle to access the internet or be unable to use the technologies that would run on online court system. That is potentially an issue that arises when it comes to that shifting online phase.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been very clear, I hope, in the report to say that we're very wary of governments around the world pursuing a digital by default strategy, because we know that a lot of people are excluded, not just from being able to access the internet, but even if they can access the internet, having the sort of capability that's required to engage in this kind of dispute resolution requires quite a high level of English knowledge, which not everyone has, including people who are born in this country. Not everyone's got that kind of literacy. And then, of course, we've got lots of immigrant people who don't necessarily speak English as a first language. There's lots of disabilities and things which might make this a difficult forum. For some people, it will be better. For some people, it will be worse. So there always needs to be options for people. It can't just be one system for all. You have to have different options which are going to suit different people's capabilities.
Now, finally, if people are in support of this move and what you're advocating for with online systems, how can people speak on it or get their opinion out there?
Well, at the moment, there is a consultation open with the Rules Committee about access to justice in the courts. So that's one avenue that's open. Well, it's actually only open until Thursday, I think, so it's a bit of a short time.
Get in quick.
Get in quick. Otherwise, it's sort of a matter of when the government is thinking about this, getting on board and supporting it. There is some hesitancy around big tech projects which have been based on bad experiences in the past and the sort of investment which is required to get these things off the ground. So I'm not aware that there's any particular momentum right now in New Zealand. I mean, I know there's various pockets of it, but maybe not a full support for it. So really it's sort of finding opportunities when they come up to speak in support of it.
That was Bridget Toy Cronin from the University of Otago Faculty of Law speaking about her call for New Zealand to move towards an online court system.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.